From Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. From Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you've ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this day your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" That's a scary story for a couple of different reasons. The character that Jesus uses in the parable is, by and large, a lot like the character we hope ourselves to be: a successful capitalist, a frugal investor, a prudent manager of resources, such that perhaps one day we retire with ample goods, doing what we continue to do. And yet Jesus sets him up in a way that has been interpreted by some to suggest, if you can't do any better than that, your eternal soul is in danger. Well, I'm not at all sure that this is about eternity. I think that this story, as frightening as it is in some ways, simply reminds us what we all know to be true virtually every day, and is designed to both prevent complacency and then move us forward with a lifestyle that suggests we know what Jesus says is true. One day, our soul will be required of us. That part we know. There's a small but not zero chance that it could be this day. And once we know that, how does that change our lives? Well, we don't think about it very often. And yet, all of us probably thought about it Friday when we learned that for 12 people in Aurora, Colorado, the decision to go to a movie was a matter of life, and in that day, death. That is one of hundreds of ways that we cannot prevent the day from being this day. And the question is, how do we live with that? What do we do now that we know that that is the case? Martin Luther was asked, what would you do if you knew that the world would end tomorrow? Not that it would just be the day for you, but for everybody. Martin Luther's answer was, I would plant a tree. Kind of a profound response, and it illustrates one answer to the question that I would pose in light of this text. What would or should all of us be doing if it could be that today was the day or tomorrow? Martin Luther's answer, I would plant a tree. Metaphorically, I would seek to leave it better than I found it. I would seek to find something to nurture. I would seek to find something to grow. Put another way, I would make a contribution to the life as it is, regardless of how long that life, that personal life, that collective life might go on. I would suggest that now that we've been reminded again that life is fragile and that any day could be the day, that we live and cope with that by making a vow this week, perhaps in honor of those who were lost there, to contribute something, plant something, nurture someone, write a check somewhere. I made a decision in preparing for sharing these thoughts. I'm going to make a commitment, and I will bring the evidence of this commitment next week to show you that I did it. It's been a long time since I've given blood. The idea of it frightens me a little bit, but I'm going to do that this week as a way of responding to the senseless horror that we cannot prevent. I'm going to give some blood. And next week, I'm going to bring you the sticker that says I did that. You can do that if you want, but I would suggest that between now and next week, do something in that spirit. Contribute. nurture, help to grow in some way, honor the day with a contribution. I think that's how we live with the scary stories. We contribute. Secondly, I think we learn to appreciate. We learn to appreciate the fact that even though tomorrow might be the day, we still have today. And appreciate the things that we know, but maybe think about less than we should, truly matter. Mitt Romney said a couple of interesting things in the wake of the horror in Colorado. He said, today's not a day for politics. Today is a day to appreciate the fact that we live in a country where we are given unimaginable blessings to those who don't live in this country or who live elsewhere, to cherish the freedom we have, to cherish the people in our lives, to love them just a little bit more, all the more, and to appreciate and to cherish the things that we have in common more than the things that divide us. I've had Giles Dalby on my mind the last few months, and he's been on and off of our prayer list, and it's an ongoing concern just because he's one of us, and over the years, I've known him nearly 20 years, and most of you have known him longer than that, to just appreciate the relationship, and that's sort of a metaphor for the relationship I have with all of you. But the point is this. One of the first things I learned about Giles Dalby was that he and I had something that was surprisingly in common. That is, and I learned this like the second day I met him, he's a Green Bay Packer fan. He has no good reason to be a Green Bay Packer fan. He grew up and lives in Texas. I, on the other hand, grew up in Wisconsin, and it's a natural and normal thing. But it's something we share. And as I've gotten to know him over the years, I've come to learn that the fact that we are both Green Bay Packer fans, relative to all manners of things that relate to the sports world, the news world, and the political world, that's about all we have in common. But you know what? It's enough. It's enough to cherish the relationship in spite of the little things that we would disagree about. Because we would agree on so much more, not just that we both like the Packers, we both like a good steak, we both like the sunshine off the Cap Rock. We both like the love of a great family, etc. I mean, there's a million things that we have in common that are far more important and far more comprehensive than the things about which we might disagree. And even if it's only the one thing, it's enough. And I think in light of the reality that this day might be the day, we cherish and appreciate what we have in common as a people of this community, as a people of this church, as a group of very lucky people to live in this country. Contribute, appreciate, and cherish. And finally, even when the emotions that come with a news event like that, or the emotions that come with difficulty in family or difficulty with other people, I'm talking about fear, anger, guilt, those personal kinds of feelings that sometimes keep us awake at night, there are ways to cope with that too. One of the 20th century's most profound psychologists is Albert Ellis, who was very adept at showing people real ways to cope with real problems. One of the things that he would do for people that had trouble interacting with others is he would get them to make a commitment to, and he practiced in New York, get on the subway and stand up and sing the Star Spangled Banner. Just force yourself to do that. And once you've done that once, you can say to yourself, the next time you have to do something hard, well, this is a piece of cake. I sang the Star Spangled Banner on the subway. This is easy. Get the idea? And the other thing he said, and this was before Prozac and all of the other things that are very helpful, but this is in addition to that. He said, you know, when you've really got the blues, or when things have got you down, or when you're really ticked at somebody, or feeling bad about yourself, do two things. One, get a piece of chocolate and eat it. It'll give you a little shot of energy. And secondly, go learn something. Go learn something. Get yourself out of rattling around inside your own head and learn something. All right? I have an example of this, and this is just silly, but I think illustrative. I learned something, well, just yesterday, because I was thinking if I'm going to talk about telling people how to learn something, I'd better go learn something. I learned a card trick. Would anybody like to be the magician's assistant? Mike, I know you would. Tell you what, Two kids? I'll tell you what. If he's my assistant, you watch, and I'll teach you the trick later, okay? Red or blue, Mike? Which one? Okay, do what I do. Take the cards out of the deck, just like this. Just pick one at random out of the middle. Okay, look at it. Put it on the bottom of the deck. Show Joanne. That's the card. Okay, now cut the cards. Okay, and put them back in the box. Pretty simple, right? Toss them back to me, and I'll toss this one to you. I want you to see if your card's in my deck and my card's in your deck. We'll take a look, okay? See if your card's in there. I'm looking for my card. Okay. My card's in this one. Is your card in that deck?
No.
Your card's not in there?
The red one or the...
Huh? Yeah, the red card that you picked, is it in that deck someplace? Has to be. It's not in there. It has to be.
The red one?
Yeah, look at the... No. Turn it over. Oh. Is the card you picked in the deck?
We thought you were...
No.
Oh, you thought.
Is the card you picked in here also in that deck?
Gotcha.
I should have picked Garrett. Is it in there?
Yeah, you should have picked.
Okay, shuffle the cards. Just shuffle them. Yeah, shuffle them up. Shuffle those. Right, I'll shuffle these. This is going to go on a lot longer than expected. Okay.
What happens when you listen to your wife?
Yeah. Put them back in the box. Okay. Yeah, see, that's what I should... Okay, back. I'll show you how to do it later.
Okay,
you ready? Here. Okay. Find your card, and I'll find mine. Okay. You found your card?
No.
Okay, I found mine. This is the best part of the whole sermon, right? Have you found your card? I've got mine. If this works, it's going to be a miracle. Are you looking at the card? Are you looking at the side of the cards with the numbers and the shapes on it? Okay. I've got my card right here. Hold up your card for everybody to see. What is it?
Six of spades.
It is, isn't it? Okay, that was silly. It was silly in 100 different ways. But it kind of looked a little weird, a little bit amazing. And Mike and I are a part of a process here of giving everybody a little smile. I learned something, shared it with you, and if anybody wants to know how to do the trick, it's not that hard. I'll tell you at some point. But here's the deal. All of these things that all of us can do every single day. Contribute, appreciate, learn. None of which comes close to blunting the horror of anyone that felt what happened in Colorado. On the other hand, contributing, appreciating, and learning creates a collective spirit of generosity, I think, that evolves and continues to give strength for all of us to say, even that does not have the last word. A continuing spirit of generosity through contributing, appreciating, and learning will get us through the day, even if tomorrow is the day when this day our soul is required. The spirit of generosity through contribution, appreciation, and learning are the gifts of the Spirit that keep us united as one and give us strength. Amen.